Anyway, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 15. As this morning we continue in this discussion that we've been having over the last several weeks, where we have recognized that we live in a world, we grow up in this world, we learn in this world, and yet we as followers of Christ are not called to be part of this world in that we are called to live differently than the world around us. So we've been looking and we're journeying through five different virtues that we as the church should understand and fully put into practice in our lives. And so far we've covered honor, purity, and loyalty. Now, I don't know about you, but I recognize, especially in the more recent years, maybe it's my age, but I recognize it's always been there, but there is a tendency among people that we, especially due to social media, it's taken on a life of its own, but there's this tendency to show people only selective parts of our life. If you're in social media and you're taking a picture to show something, I mean, there are people that, and I'm guilty, you know, the house is a mess, but there's one little spot, and so that's the part you take a picture of. Can I get an amen? I mean, you're out and you've got all this, the world could be blowing up around you, but you're only going to show this one space of your life because that's what people want to see. That there's a tendency to just give and convey a part of life that I want to do. It's the dream. Which is why I want to talk to us about the virtue of integrity. Because tragically, we live in a world that's more shocked by actions of integrity than they are when we experience a lack of integrity. You can turn on the news almost any day and see stories where there is a complete lack of integrity and scandal. You can turn and look around, and I'm not just talking about the politicians, because unfortunately we've come to a point where we just expect that. But we can look at the athletes that everybody loves and respects, and oh, look at the good things that they do and different things, and yet something comes to light and we recognize that they have a whole other life that's been hidden from view. And quite honestly, we've unfortunately seen this especially a lot within the Christian leaders in our country, the minister, the pastor, the evangelist that preaches one thing and has a whole nother thing going on in their life that doesn't match up. And I'm not just, it's not just the public things, those leaders that are visible. It's also close friends. Someone that you thought you knew, that you loved, where they represented one thing, and they lived totally different. So as we kind of understand that picture, I want us to get a quick working definition of integrity this morning. This is about as simple as I can make it. When your behavior matches your beliefs. Okay? It's an integrated lifestyle. We can put it this way. That what you say lines up with what you do. It's when your private life matches your public life. It's different than your reputation because that's based on what other people think you are. Your integrity or lack of integrity is about who you really are. That when nobody's watching, when you think nobody else will know, this is what you do. Proverbs 11:3 says it this way, that the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Which is why this morning I want us to look at this picture of integrity. And there's a lot of different voices of what that looks like throughout Scripture, but I want to point to Psalm 15 this morning. Because in it, David asked this question. He asked this question of, who can dwell in the sanctuary of the Lord? In other words, who can enjoy your continual presence, God? Who can walk with you and fellowship with you? And God gives a pretty blunt answer. He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, integrity. Who speaks the truth from his heart, it's integrity. Who has no slander on his tongue, integrity. Who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, it's integrity. Who despises the vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, there's integrity. Who keeps his oath even when it hurts, it's integrity. Who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent, there's integrity. Who does these things will never be shaken. So when you live not only according to your beliefs, which we recognize the world does, because they make them up as they go, but when we live by our beliefs that are based on God's word and who God is, it says that we will never be shaken. That's a benefit. And I recognize that there are many benefits to living a life of integrity, but let's focus on four this morning that are quite particular. First of all, you can walk closely with God. If you're living a life of integrity, you can enjoy the ongoing communion and fellowship with a holy God. I like to think of it, let's really simplify it. If my kids and if I have imparted on them the values that I have learned through Scripture and we live according to those family values, that increases my opportunity and their opportunity for us in relationship. And fellowship. But the other option is for them to say, well, forget you, Dad. It's more fun to do this. And so I don't like what you've done. Choosing my own thing. Well, that doesn't change my love for them, but it does change our relationship. It changes the way that we can commune. And the same is with God. When you live according to his values, you can walk more closely with him and you enjoy his presence daily. The second benefit is that you'll have a built-in guide. We read this in Proverbs 11:3. It says, the integrity of the upright guides him. You don't have to sit around wondering, if I do this thing, you know, I know. Understand it's a little bit in the gray areas of life, but you know, one time it's okay. You never have to worry because you don't have to worry about this is right and this is wrong if you're following in God's leading. Amen. I do what's right, because I understand God is, this is the way. And so we understand that integrity guides us in that way. But we'll also have a constant peace within our heart. In a life of integrity, when you put your head on the pillow at night, you don't have to wonder, what if someone finds out? You no longer have to wonder about the what ifs that are consequences of a lack of integrity. You get to experience that peace where there's no fear of getting caught. Because I don't know about anyone who lays awake at night thinking, I hope nobody finds out I did the right thing. Have you ever thought of it that way? I hope nobody finds out I lived a life of integrity. Instead, we experience peace. Now remember, peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's the steadiness within. But you also get to gain trust, respect, honor, and influence. If you want great children, be a parent of integrity. If you want to be a great leader of your family, be a person of integrity. If you want influence in the business community, be a person of your word. When you have integrity, people tend to follow. They will honor and listen to you. They will seek wisdom and advice because you are that person of integrity. That your yes is yes and your no is no. But the challenge is that so many people aren't people of integrity. We tend to flow with the whims of the world and what seems right in the midst and what other people will think determines our actions. In fact, many are exactly the opposite of people of integrity. They are what we would call hypocrites. Now that word comes from the Greek. It's hypokrites, which means actor. And if you break the word itself, it's two words that literally means an interpreter from underneath, which makes sense because in the Greek times, in the theater, the actors wore large masks to mark which character they were playing in the moment. And so they would interpret the story from underneath the mask that was up front at that time. And unfortunately, though, it was easy to know who they were because they were holding the mask. But now we've removed the mask and we continue to live that lie based on who we want people to think we are. So we go through life that way and we see and we are sometimes and we show not who we really are, but who we want to pretend to be in the moment. But sometimes, let's recognize, we've all been a hypocrite at one point or another. We've all lacked integrity at some point. We have a hard time seeing it in ourselves because we want to justify it. We want the world around us to like us, but understand that God hates that lie. He's called us to more. In fact, if you look at Jesus, you see that he's far more hard on the hypocrite than he is the prostitute and the adulterer. On the religious leaders, he's speaking to them when he says, "Woe to you." If you're wondering what that means, I can't think of a better translation than this. Her name was Tootie on the old show Facts of Life, and she goes, "Someone's in trouble." And I understand I'm dating myself with that reference, but you are in so much trouble. Jesus is telling them to the religious leaders of his day as they surround him, "You have no idea how bad it's going to be for you if you keep this way." Matthew chapter 23, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look so beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of death, of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to be people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Hey, religious guys, you keep putting yourself up with all this pomp and circumstance. You act religious, you look righteous, you tell people how they should live, but on the inside you are death itself. You stink of rot. That's pretty hard words. And he goes on to call them blind Pharisee. In other words, you're so blind with your own hypocrisy that you don't even see it. And this Jesus provides the solution also to our lack of integrity. He gives us the way out. He says, start cleaning from the inside. Because integrity doesn't start from the outside in. It doesn't start from the rules that we want to impose. It starts from a cleaning of the inside out. So let's be honest. It's so easy to put on the mask and play the game. We walk around with this mask of smiles. People ask, how are you doing? Okay, doing good. On the inside, we're dying. There could be different issues of sin or struggle going on, but you keep the mask because you think that's what everybody wants to see. So let me ask you this question. And I want you to truly think about it. Don't just respond in your heart, you know, just to get it over with, but truly look through your heart and in your own mind and evaluate what your life is saying, not just what you think in your head, but truly what your life is saying. And here's the question. What is your integrity worth? Because that will determine your life. What's your integrity worth? For example, if you're willing to lie on a resume to get a better job, your integrity is worth whatever that job pays. If you took your integrity and said, well, I'm willing to trade for this benefit, that's what it's worth to you. The reality is it's a much less for a lot of people. Maybe you're at the job and you're like, you know, I need some paper at home. I forgot to buy some, so I'll just take a handful. Nobody will ever miss it. Kids got a paper due, and so we take a little of this. Well, that's what your integrity is worth. Maybe you falsified an expense report and you put something down that was personal and you made it look like a business expense to do the same. That's what your integrity is worth. Some of you are in business, and occasionally there's a temptation to overbill because you know that client can afford it. Or maybe you're cutting corners along the way. Maybe it's just with your friends, you exaggerate a story so that you can be liked. Man, you should have seen this fish I caught. He was this big. Perhaps you tell your spouse that you love them and honor them, and yet you're doing all the things that are counter to that. Maybe you're a student, and the good grades and the GPA is what it's about, and so you know, cheating on this little test or using this to write your paper. That's how much your integrity is worth. What's your integrity worth to you today? Not just what you say, but what does your life say that it's worth? When Job was asked this, his reply was, "My integrity is worth more than my life itself." As you read the scripture and the story, maybe you're familiar with it, maybe you aren't, so let me give you a quick sum. And I admit, I want to be Job, but I really don't want to be Job. Because Satan comes and is having discussion with God and saying, you know, all these people, they really don't love you. They're just doing it so that they can get whatever you're giving to them. They're using you, God. And this is where Job, because he's lived a life of integrity up to this point, which God's saying, good, good for you, but now let me be, let you be the example for all mankind. Well, there's this guy named Job. I promise you he's faithful. Not because of what he gets, but because of who he is in relation to me. And Satan says, well, let me have a crack at him. And God says, go for it. Take your best shot. So Satan strips Job of all the things that matter in our world. All the things and relationships and different things, they're destroyed in different ways. And his wife and his friends, it seems, turn on him because she says, why are you hanging on to this? Just curse God and die. Friends, you know you've done something wrong. You say you do this, but yet something happened, had to have happened that you're not admitting to. So quit claiming that you're a good person. And in chapter 27, verses 5 and 6, Job responds this way, I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I shall live. My integrity is worth everything. You can take away everything else, but you can't take me away my right to choose to honor God in everything that I do. That's the way I choose to live. That's what my integrity is worth to me. What's your integrity worth? Because here's the thing. If you have integrity, it's really all that matters. If you don't have integrity, it's really all that matters. So what do you do when you realize there's a lack in my life? That I've been playing the game and I need to live differently? First of all, get to know Jesus. Not just to know about him, get to know him. Not from a distance where I just want to study about him and know a little bit about facts and some of the things he said. Get to know him personally. Dive into his word. Because let me tell you right now, you can never live a life of integrity purely in your own strength. Amen. The only way you can do it is to get to know him personally and allow the power of Christ through his Holy Spirit to lead you to do what is right, and allowing him to live through you. Secondly, you need to go apologize and repent to the people that you have misrepresented yourself to. You confess, I haven't been true. I've lived a life of hypocrisy, and you ask for forgiveness. Now, recognize that that will lead to a lack of trust at times, because you're going to have to rebuild, or maybe build for the first time, a life of integrity that will be shown through by the difference of a life lived. Then lastly, but simply start doing what Jesus said. Jesus' instructions in Matthew chapter 5 are this, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So you become a person of your word as Christ lives through you. It's that simple. Let your behavior line up with your beliefs, but not just your beliefs, but more importantly, they line up with God's word. When you do that, you will walk with God. That you'll have that built-in guide. You'll have a peace of that all of time you gain honor, trust, and respect from those around you because they understand that you're shooting straight with them. Amen. Let's take off the masks and bring out the real you that is allowing God to work through your life because it truly does matter. And then maybe in the end, will be a little bit like Samuel, who went before his family and the people of Israel, and I think it's in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And he stood before them and said, "Have I done anything that has ever wronged anyone? If so, speak up. Have I done anything that's lacked integrity? Have I robbed anybody? Have I done this? Have I shorted you? Anybody?" And they all resoundingly said, "You've been true to your word." May the end, at the end of the day, especially those that are close to us, truly be able to say, they were a person of God's truth and integrity. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And God, we realize the very real pressure to live a lie, to live to the perception of those around us dictate. God, help us to live unfiltered lives, where what people see is truly who we are, that our actions, God, would be born of your truth, your love, your grace, and your mercy, that they come from an action and understanding of your Holy Spirit working in and of us, that God, we would do the hard things, the things that matter, because your word directs us to. That we honor you in all of the ways that we live. That we glorify you in the ways that we speak, in the ways that we think, in the actions that we do. Because you are God and we are not. And so we give you thanks today. Help us to lead lives of integrity, even when the world around us doesn't. In your name we pray. Amen. Go and be the people of the church.